Hey, Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family, welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, do houses hold energy? And what is that? Those vibes you get when you walk into a space, is that real? Is it in our head? What is it? But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
So what do you think?
Well, I did some research.
Yeah.
I researched two homes.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you yet.
Ooh,
which
suspense.
Two homes I researched. It's a surprise. Huge surprise. But, and I don't know if should I give away my findings right now, but, you know, I'm going to say, when you used to live on Marie Drive.
Yes.
In Buffalo, New York,
Hamburg, New York.
That house definitely had vibes.
Yeah. So the house that you met me in, that was the house I was living at home at the time when we met. So my mom's a psychic, and she did, like, a lot of readings in the house. And the weird thing was, is people always said, I love your house, especially this one room in the house. It was like the TV room den. And it wasn't anything special. It had like paneled walls. It, you know, had old couches. It was very cozy, but it wasn't like gorgeous or anything. But can I, the number one thing I heard from friends, nobody wanted to leave.
No. It was weird because, you know, when you first start dating, you're supposed to go out to eat. In the movies, or back then you're supposed to go out to the movies. Now you're supposed to stream or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never wanted to leave that room.
Yeah, you're going
to
blame that on the good vibes or the wallet
or the
situation.
Wallet. Well, we did the money episode last week. So,
Meg,
I'll blame you on the house.
Let's just eat toast here.
Yeah.
your house has good vibes.
Yeah.
No, but it is true. Like,
no, it really did. It truly, you just didn't want. I mean, you'd have to really pull yourself out of that.
Yeah,
room
it was like a vortex of good vibes.
Yeah,
and,
real good
and you
vibes.
Could watch anything on TV, and it was just good. And I don't. So anyway, so yes, and I feel like, you know. And then what happened is when I started doing readings in this house, people were saying the same thing here too.
Right.
They'd be like,
right.
Oh my God, your house feels so homey.
Yes.
Your house feels so great. They don't want to leave. But now I don't do as many in-person readings in the house. Like I don't do any really ever since the pandemic. And I don't hear that as much anymore. But I used to hear it a lot.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, people would always say how homey it is and they never want to leave. And then if they came for a reading, they just want to kind of stay. And they after the reading was over, like, hey, what do you want to do for lunch? And
right.
Go to the fridge. They started going to our fridge and making the coffee.
So,
and, yeah. So
what is it about houses and energy? Like what's, you know, so spaces do hold energy and we call them vibes usually. And either we're attracted to them or we feel neutral about them or we're repelled by them. And the way that I see it is our environment is not a neutral place and you can pick up on things. And there's three reasons why it happens. Okay. So one is emotions and vibes. So like leftovers, emotions from those who've inhabited, built or designed the space. So that's like a real, and I'm going to get into each of these more. The second one is something called geopathic stress. So these are like environmental frequencies we perceive in a way which we can't explain, much like animals can. So this can happen if the space is over like a tunnel or a sewer or a geological fault or radiation or places on Earth that don't feel habitable, even if there's a house there. So there's just something off with the energy. And animals pick up on this very quickly. The difference is they listen and we don't always listen. And finally, something called emotional residue. And I had to look into this one because some scientists believe, well, and some of this has been backed by research, that there's psychological components from knowing what went on in a space, first of all. So, for example, a lot of people that go into Auschwitz, it's like overwhelming. Same symptoms. They even more, I guess, I've never been, but I guess.
Okay,
they,
so yeah, and that was a concentration camp during World War II,
oh,
for
thank
those
you.
That don't know.
Yeah, yeah so... I think they even warn people ahead of time I was looking at, or maybe some tour guides do, some tour guides don't. Like I said, I've never been there, but like, all right, you might feel tightness in your chest. Did it, like they're so used to the medical symptoms and the negativity and the physical effects people feel from walking through there. So, you know, they're like, is this such a psychological because they already knew what happened or is it just haunted with really bad, bad, bad energy from the sadness that went on there? But there's this other part of it where some researchers have actually, and I'm going to go into this more, have discovered that we leave behind hormones and chemical scents that other humans can perceive and pick up on and react to.
Okay.
So
it seems like the Greens would be really into some of these.
They would like that, the geopathic stress one and the emotional residue one.
Yeah, those two, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what I think at the end of this, but okay. Let's talk about the first one. All right, emotions and vibes. So emotion, every time you have an emotion, it carries a frequency. And that is energy, and it shifts the space. And energy is like a wave, like a frequency, like a radio wave, like a signal from a satellite. It exists long past the time it was sent out. So if there is a really happy experience that occurred in the space that you're inhabiting, or a negative experience, it can imprint this vibe stronger. And the emotions associated with it can become stronger and magnified. I feel personally it can attract the, like, if these people have passed, it attracts their energy, their whatever you want to call it, their souls or their ghosts or whatever you want to call that. And if it's like really positive or negative, I see this all the time. Like, there's mirrored experiences. So we were talking about, I forget what episode, how, hey, how come sometimes a house is nothing, 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 and then a family moves in and it wakes up and it's all this haunting activity? Because energy responds to like energy. So if something tragic or happy happened with like a family, and then, you know, and then single men were living there for a while, and then a family moves in, all of a sudden the energy starts resonating with your energy and it amplifies the whole thing.
Okay. So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the answer to it or not, but let's say a home was built in the 1800s. Some bad things went down in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Then, you know, then it settled, whatever. So then that could reappear in the 1970s.
Yeah.
So, like, it just stays there through time?
Well, the way that I think
waiting
of,
for...
Yeah, we think of things like, like there's expiration dates on things.
Right.
Because that's how we work in this world. Like, if you leave, I don't know, a cheesecake out... And you leave it out for like, you know, a month, it's going to stink. And then after that, it just gets petrified and then turns to dust and then goes away. That's not how energy works. Energy doesn't do that. Like, it can stay. And I feel like this is where I get psychic crazy, psychic lady. But I feel like because it doesn't exist on these planes, the same plane that we're on. So it can pop, it can move to different planes. It can kind of stall for a minute and then come back to the plane fresh as a daisy, you know, if the right energy hits it. The other thing is, apartment buildings versus houses. Energy doesn't stop at a wall.
Okay.
Okay. Like energy, like just be, you know, you're living next door, on top of, below, you know, anywhere, the hallway. If somebody's going through something underneath you, okay, in the building underneath you, it can rise up and it can affect you. And if you start going through similar things, it can amplify both those energies. What?
That's true. And that could also be physical as well. If things are going on downstairs and then you're
on
the upper, you can feel things. We lived in an apartment.
We sure did.
That has happened.
We lived in an apartment and it was very interesting downstairs.
Right. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Physically,
a fun way, not in a negative way.
Jumanji, Jumanji, Jumanji.
In a Jumanji way.
Yeah, that's
but yes.
Very interesting.
But you know, yeah.
No, going back to the point that you were making, we did talk about this earlier when we did the Warrens and Ed Warren, you know, those two paranormal ghost hunters, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They also said the same thing. Like the
energy did they?
Yeah, the energy could stay dormant.
Yeah.
And then reappear.
Okay, I forgot about that. Yeah. And that's like a real thing with energy. And you know what's, we as humans feel it. But we're really great at dismissing our feelings. So sometimes, especially like if your dog or cat lives, if I'm reading you and you have a dog or cat and you're in an apartment, immediately they're like, they'll show me the energy on like the left side of the apartment or in the hallway because they feel it themselves. So it's a real thing. Okay, so that's emotions and vibes and their own frequencies. Now the second thing, geopathic stress. I found this so fascinating. I had to look into it. So it makes a lot of sense to me. So you know how like some animals won't, they just, you know, it's just a fact. They won't live in certain spots. And then if you took like scientific tools or whatever and went over there, like, oh, it's a higher radiation field here. There's a mineral deposit under the ground. That's interesting. Or it emits this different frequency than this part that they all seem to. So we feel that too. But the difference between us and animals is... A developer will come and build it right on top of it. And then we're like, well, we should live there. And we ignore it all and go live there. But that kind of stuff can bother us and affect us. And instead of us understanding that, oh, okay, like this isn't right, and then just listening to it like an animal would, we kind of go into our psyches and we might say, oh, this is bad vibes. Or we might say, oh, I'm going to ignore it because this is where I'm living.
Okay. So are these like the examples, like when you hear, oh, that house was built on top of an old cemetery from the 1700s or something? Or is that what?
No, it's more like actually earth, like they're a mineral deposit.
Oh, not even.
Underground water.
Okay.
Tunnels. Okay. So there was this.
Interesting.
There was this, oh my gosh, in Bavaria, you know, I'm not a scientist, you guys. Where did it? Oh, yeah. In Bavaria. It was in Bavaria. This is how they kind of started this study. There were all these houses built on all these people got cancer at the same time. And then a scientist went to go research it and he realized like everyone who got cancer was like in this weird spot. They all had their bedrooms over a geological fault, like in the town. And some people in the town were like, I don't want to live. Like they listened to it and they just didn't want to live there. Like, and they couldn't explain it. They're just like, man, I didn't like it. I don't know. Weird. Da, da, da. But the people that live, they kind of got cancer. Now there's so much you can look into that. And then they're real clear in the article. They were like, but we're not saying that geological faults lead to cancer. Da, da. But my point is that they can see that there's a correlation between people having negative effects or negative feelings or symptoms and issues with the earth, just differences in the earth's vibe. So that's the geopathic stress thing. So we can perceive issues in the earth itself, just like animals.
Right.
So that can always be issues with.
Okay. So this is not like man-made things that have happened. This is things that are natural to the earth. Okay.
Yeah, just natural, like just magnetic issues or just whatever. Okay.
I mean, that falls along the line when you guys were always talking about your crystals. And they're, you know, all your different crystals and the red jasper and all that does and all those other things.
Yeah, it's like it affects you. Okay,
got it.
And finally, emotional residue. And this is, I think that was a green one that I just did. And this is another green one. All right. So chemical signals from other humans, which lead us to feeling low vibe or off-putting. So studies have found, for example, that a woman's tears, okay, have a chemical signal in which they actually lower men's libidos. So when a woman's crying around you, you, according to science and research, can pick up just through kind of the air or whatever, and then all of a sudden your libido gets lower. Well, yeah, men hate when girls cry, usually.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
All right. Or, and then this, I thought this was really funny. They studied the sweat that men produced when they were scared. So they put men in really scary situations and took their sweat. And then I don't know how they do this, but then they took a group of women and exposed them to that fear sweat, and all the women felt disgusted. Okay. Well, so a men's fear disgusts a woman.
I know I've always heard like people are attracted to your pheromones.
Yeah,
Is that kind of like that?
They were calling them like chemo signals or something.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So they're saying that, and there's so much research that can be done here, but they're saying like something in a place where something terrible happened, there could be a lot of chemo signals left and we're just picking them up.
Okay.
And that's something that we're responding to in the atmosphere.
So these chemo, like, normally, you know, when I leave the room, the smell goes with it and everyone's happy. But what you're saying, or what they're saying here, is that there's left, like, my smell did not go away.
It's not so, even a like, smell. It's like, whatever that is.
Whatever that is. And that'll stay there through centuries.
Well,
possibly.
That's what they're researching. Like, so they didn't have, because that's where it could expire. I'm now, like, come on, doesn't somebody's pheromone actually, like that's biological material.
Right.
So that didn't make sense to me, but I had to give you everything.
Yeah, because even like plastic, you know, they say like, if you drop a, you know, plastic, you know, in thousands of years, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
So like, do those leave too after thousands of years?
Yeah, I know. I mean, okay. I'm just giving you, this is what people think. They're like, when, because they're so, what happens is, and this is my conclusion. All right. This is what I think. I think there's truth in all of this stuff. And I don't feel like science dismisses psychic or spiritual ability. Actually, I think that's the 3D world trying to keep us separate from it. Because the way science to me, you know, God or that which is greater than us or whatever you want to call it, I feel like that exists in every natural occurrence on this planet. Science is a way to, I feel, explore spirituality. I don't feel like they're mutually exclusive. And I feel like our body's ability to kind of filter through these feelings, you know, you can call them instinct or just like, you know, chemical signals or whatever, but I feel like it's also your ability to connect with that which is greater than us or the balance of the universe. So I feel like that is spiritual.
All right. I mean, I'm on board here.
Okay.
I'm getting there. We do try to make the paranormal normal here.
We're trying.
So that's what we're trying to do here again. All right, let's take it. We'll do a couple ads. And then when we come back, we're going to do two homes. One that has really good, strong, positive energy. And the other one, just terrible, negative, evil energy.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. You know, I've been noticing that the cats, all three of them, have been hanging out around, hovering around the fridge. I think we might have a geopathic stress area over there.
No.
No.
No, it's not totally no. Fine. Okay. It's because they know that this is where I keep the smalls.
Oh.
You know, it's a new year, and it was time for me to update my cat food for my precious little fur babies. That's Binks, Dusty, and Rocky. And smalls was the way to go. You know, it is 2023. Are you still feeding your cat kibble? Because I was. And now is the time to update your cat food with smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. Today, Smalls has served millions of meals to cats all across America. At this point, you might be wondering, why can't I just feed my cat kibble? Well, when it comes to big pet food, let's just say you do not want to see how the sausage is made, okay? Think pink sludge getting extruded at extremely high temperatures. If that sounds gross, imagine having to eat it every day. Smalls takes a different approach. It is cooked gently, just like food would be in your own kitchen, and they work with leading cat nutritionists to create recipes that are exactly what your little furball craves and needs. After making the switch to Smalls, 78% of cat owners reported their cats had shinier and softer fur, and 90% reported overall health improvements. That's such a big deal. You know, my own cats, they love it, and they look healthier, and they're more spry than they've ever been before. I feel they love the taste. This is why they're sitting around the fridge at mealtime now. And also, I can finally open a packet of cat food and not get nauseous. I actually recognize the ingredients in a packet of Smalls cat food. So remember, higher quality ingredients mean a healthier and happier life for your kitty. So head to smalls.com/KYA and use promo code KYA at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code KYA for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code KYA for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Now, we just spoke about feeding your cats better, but we have to feed ourselves better too. For me, Sakara has been such a lifesaver. You know, I'm always looking for meals that are ready to eat. And Sakara not only has that, but it's delivered to my door. And they actually help me feel and look and just sense my best self. Sakara is the answer. And it's so much more than such a meal delivery program. Sakara is a nutrition program that's like having a nutritionist and chef in one. Their meals are expertly designed to support your goals from weight management to clearer skin and boosted energy. And also, guess what? They are delicious. Sakara brings expertly designed organic nutrition programs and wellness essentials right to your door. They're science-backed, ready-to-eat meals, deliver results you can see and feel from weight management and eased bloat to boosted energy and clearer skin. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/KYA or enter code KYA at checkout. That's Sakara, SAKARA.com/KYA to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right. So I was tasked this week to find, you know, a topic. And I like the paranormal. I love the Mothman. Everyone knows I'm a big Mothman fan. And as I was doing some research, I came across what was called the House of Death, which we are going to talk about. And, you know, I was reading about it and all these bad things that happened there. And then I kind of, in my head, I was thinking, well, I'm always like reading about all these horrible things like the Amityville Horror House and, you know, the Warrens finding all the, you know, the Annabelle doll and all these places being haunted. And I'm like, is there ever a house that maybe has like good vibes throughout its history where you could go kind of see it and it always has a good feeling to it? So that's how this kind of came out. So what I did, I wanted to do like the juxtaposition between one good vibe house and one bad. So I picked the good vibe house I picked was the Brady Bunch home.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know if everyone knows, but the TV show, the Brady Bunch, right? Lovely
yeah.
family, man,
I love
wife,
the,
they put the family together.
Yeah. I love the remake movies. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, you love the remake movies.
Yeah, those are funny.
So I found the actual house. Now, the show itself, the interior was all taped on Hollywood sets. But the outside of the home was actual footage from this one house. And it's funny because the address stuck out right away, which is 11222.
That's Dilling, so weird.
Dilling Street, Studio City, California. So 11222. Is the address.
I've been seeing that number. Like, I just got chills. Did I tell you, like, a couple days
ago?
Yeah,
you told me that, yeah.
I keep seeing 1122 everywhere.
Yeah, then I come out and tell you the address. And
yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's, like, been creeping me out.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the house was built in 1959. And then eventually, when I think the Brady Bunch started in 1969, they decided that they were going to use this home that was built. It wasn't built for the show or anything like that. The producers of the show basically said, this is the, when they were just looking through houses, I'm sure it was close to the studio, but when they were looking at houses, they said, oh, this is a house that an architect would live in. And I think Mike was the dad.
He was an architect.
So
yeah.
That's why they picked it. And all the shots you see are of the outside of the house are this actual house at 11222 Dilling Street. So the show went on. In the first couple of years, it wasn't a great success, but it went on to be a huge hit. And it was eventually bought by a family, the actual house.
Right.
And it was just one of the most popular tourist spots in L.A.
Wow.
At that time, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe in the 2000s, you went to L.A. This was a stop that people would go to.
Oh, really?
In fact, it was at one point, I don't know if maybe it still is, it was the second most photographed house in the U.S.
That's amazing.
Yeah. First one being
So people just love it.
Yeah, they love it. First one being the White House. But after the White House, it is the second most, they say. So people love it. A little bit about the house. It's a ranch style, split level. We'll put up some pictures. I mean, most people probably have seen it. It was three bedrooms, three bathrooms, two master bedrooms. It had a very unique layout, about 2,400 square feet. And it had a nice backyard for that area. You know, in L.A., it's hard to get land, and it had a nice large backyard. So people loved it. They would come by. They would take pictures. Now, if you or I lived there, because someone bought it, I think, in 72, someone bought it. Another family bought it. We'll get into that in a second. Now, people coming by all day, taking pictures all day. If you and I owned the house, my red would just be like, what are you doing on my property? Could you guys go away?
You'd have a big old privacy
right.
fence. Keep out.
Keep out. You would be like, every time you saw a car drive by, you would run upstairs, go under the blanket, watch Netflix covered. But the people that bought it, the McAllister family, loved it. They loved having the people come by.
Oh, that's nice.
They welcomed.
That's nice.
It just had such good vibes. They people would stop by, they would take pictures, they would kind of wave to them, they would say hello. Members of the cast would stop by at times, like, you know, the boys and the girls would stop by. They did film a few scenes in front of the house that they would be there for that too. But the family, you know, they just absolutely adored it. I gave you a picture of the granddaughter of the family that owned it. Violet McAllister was the remaining survivor who owned the home. She bought the house in 72, like I said, for $81,000. And then her granddaughter, Kelsey Whitmer, sold the home when she died. But she gave this interview where she talked about how it was the greatest place ever to grow up.
Oh, wow.
And I gave you her picture,
yeah.
Which is very interesting because she looks like Maureen McCormick, who played Marsha.
She looks just like Marsha. It's weird. Like, I thought, I'm like, is this the actress?
Yeah.
Because that's what she looks like. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, can you give us first vibes of the house?
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is how we do it here. We don't do the scientific data. We just ask Mystic Michaela what she thinks. So tell us, what do you... If she says it's a good vibe, it's a good vibe.
People should get there with their...
Yeah.
If this was like a higher budget show,
yeah,
we'd be there with our like beep, 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 right, beep, beep equipment right, everywhere and right, be like, mm-hmm, if anyone, exactly.
If anyone wants to fund that, let me know.
Please. But looking right, for backers for Scott's dream show right, where that's what we do.
All right. Okay. Move over Max Planck. Here comes Mystic Michaela. Tell us what you get from this house.
I don't know what you're saying. Okay. So there's two pictures. I think the one you gave me was like a, like... I think one's present and one's past or something.
I think they're both at the same time, they're different lighting. I give you two different lighting. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Because one looks different. Like the landscaping looks different.
Might be a little
that's
newer
why,
or something. Yeah.
Okay. Because landscaping's totally different. Anyways, this is what I get from the house. Trying. It feels like it's trying. Like, and it's weird. So when a house has a really good vibe, it has like a personification. It's like becomes part of like a member of the family and it likes to. This house it feels like it has lovely vibrations. Like it just wants to be a home. It wants to support a family. It wants to play its part the best. And what's interesting is, so when I talked about the three things that you get on it, like this one is like emotions and vibes. So obviously this house absorbed and was projected upon a lot of happiness and positivity. I mean, just that show was kind of like the hope of the show and the quintessential like blended American family and how it all worked out. And you know, and I feel like people probably put a lot of faith in that family and it was like very American or whatever, but this house feels like it kind of absorbed a lot of that. And then the people who purchased it, I bet them living there and just like incorporating it into their own family. Like, hey, we're part of that too. We can give that to people that come and we can partake in it. So there's this exchange of positive energy. So the house to me feels like it's trying. That's what it feels like to me. Like if you bought this house and lived in it, it wants to support you in your American dream like that. Like that's what it feels like to me.
Okay.
So yeah, it does. And it's not like, it's a very 70s home or whatever it is. Like whatever that, it's a very dated home.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. Like, and usually that's not my style, but I would live there. Like I would. Would you live there?
Yeah.
Would you live there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and that's not my style at all. Like usually I go for like older homes or something like that, like in a different style.
Yeah.
But like this to me, it just feels welcoming.
Yeah. I mean, I would transport it out of LA, move it to another part of the country. But other than that,
yeah, that's your only
problem. I would live there. But it's very interesting. I mean, they said they definitely kept it up. They try to keep it looking nice. They try to present it a welcoming feeling when people would come.
Yeah.
But it's just so strange that there would be a family that would do that even, because most of the time you buy a home and, you know, they bought it for $81,000 in 1972, which is probably a lot of money for a house back then. And you would think you'd want a little privacy. No, they really welcomed
the people. They
really
liked the joy.
It brought them such joy. Yeah, it seems like they were as wholesome as the TV family, the Bradys.
And it's weird that the granddaughter looks just like Marcia.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What do you get from Kelsey?
So just looking at her, I feel like she's trying to like it's a kind of it matches the vibe of the house.
Okay.
Like very you. I guess, like, how do I say this? Like, you'd think it's made up. It's so nice, but it's actually genuine.
Right.
That's what she feels like. Like, you'd think it's fake. Like, oh, please. Nobody's like this. Nobody is that happy. Nobody, but no, it is. Like, that's what the vibe she gives me. That's the vibe the house gives me, too, in a way. Like, come on. Like, all that pessimism that people have, like, that, it doesn't hold there. But the show was like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like, come on, they get along that well, you know, like that. But they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, and that's what I was trying to find. I was, like, all right, I'm going to find something here that's negative about this place. And I couldn't find it.
Well,
now, maybe that's how it's written about. I don't know. But I couldn't find anything on the negative side of this.
Talking about that mirrored energy thing, when a place has a certain vibe, it tends to attract the same vibe or mirror the same vibe. That's what tends to happen. So it's interesting that the kid that lived there looks exactly like Marcia. And then the vibe of the house is exactly like the vibe of the show. And it's definitely bringing people in who have that energy and supporting it and amplifying it, which is what I talked about.
Could emotional and now this is outside of the home, it's not in the home. Could the emotional residue that we talked about earlier maybe of all these people coming by and taking pictures and loving it, could that have spread to the home?
I mean, that's one of the science things. Yeah, like, I guess so.
All right.
Like, maybe there's, well, like, a happy mineral deposit under it, too. I don't know.
That could be, too. Right. But we're just taking the Mystic Michaela take right now.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, the grandmother who owned it, she died. She passed. And then they sold the house. And there was a massive bidding war. Everybody wanted this house. Maureen McCormick, who played Marcia Brady, was trying to get in on it, but she realized it was just so much competition that she backed out. Lance Bass from NSYNC. Was he NSYNC?
Yeah.
Oh, I got that right. Okay.
Yeah, good job.
He wanted this home so bad.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, he took a tour, and he was quoted as saying, "This was one of the happiest days of my life." Okay, just going into the Brady Bunch house.
Wow, he felt that.
Yes.
Powerful.
Now remember, this is the, I don't remember what part he was in NSYNC. All the people that listen probably know this much better than me. But this is a guy who was in a huge band, probably had many great days
in
his life. And he's saying this is one of the happiest times of his life. And he actually was so distraught that he did not get the home. But then it was bought for, I think, $3.5 million. To HGTV, and that kind of annoyed me too. I'm like, why didn't just, you know, Lance Bass should have got it.
Yeah.
Or someone else. You know, what, giving it, I mean, I like HGTV, don't get me wrong, a good House Hunters on a Saturday night, that, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, but that's really sad I just said that.
A good House Hunters, Scott.
On a Saturday night.
Scott, it's okay, we'll process that later.
Yeah, process that later. And then HD did get it, and then Lance, you know, gave a statement that he was happy that they got it,
right.
And they did a whole reality TV show. And I got, like, here I was like, I got all, my red started coming out, like,
right.
I don't know. I'm sure they did fine by it, but to me, it should have been a single
What, they do, like,
owner.
A renovation show?
Yeah, they did, like, a renovation show.
I think I remember that, actually.
Yeah.
And I think they said something like the most viewers or something they got for it. Was it the Property Brothers did
it? Yeah, the Property Brothers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't read those articles because it...
Then you got angry because you want a family to keep...
Yeah, I wanted another family to
I knew you were going to say this, so I just Googled the house now.
Okay.
And this was on February 2nd, 2023. So isn't that crazy? This is the house now. There's like a fence in front of it. See?
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
It looks different. It feels sad.
Oh.
It feels lonely.
This was the hope that there would be a house that would always stay good.
I know.
Because they
I'm
put
sorry.
Up the, yeah, that's what they did. They put
yeah,
up a barrier.
Fence, so people can't go on it anymore.
Yeah.
And take pictures.
Yeah, because before they can go up, they could talk to the owners. They could take their pictures.
It feels
probably
lonely.
Probably weren't selfies at that time. But
it feels like it got put in a zoo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like behind bars. And now it's just like, it just wants kids and fun and play and family and tradition. It doesn't have anything anymore. I hope they sell it. Soon to a family.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what? I was picking up the house's energy. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Right.
But I was so upset that HGTV bought it.
Yeah.
Out of, you know, and it should have went to either like maybe Marcia Brady or someone
you
else
know,
or a family or
and
something.
And that's your red aura way of picking up a vibration. You're going to get angry about it.
Right.
We were talking about this over in the psychic workshop that we're running about how feelings are actually carrying your vibrations, the emotions you have carry psychic messages. So I just feel really sad. It makes me sad. So and the house itself now feels lonely because it just wants to keep trying. It's very sad.
It just wants to keep trying. Okay.
Yeah.
And for me, I couldn't even read the articles. I stopped my research at that point.
You got really upset for the house.
Very upset.
It was like the underdog now, the house.
So, all right. There's my theory of one positive place going down the drain.
All right. Sorry. Well, hopefully they sell it to a you know, they can't keep
it
forever.
Yeah. And maybe
somebody
they'll tear down that fence
it.
And a nice family will come out and you can take pictures with them again and it'll be nice.
It's all be good.
All right.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, now we're going to what we usually talk about.
Ooh.
The house, this is dubbed the House of Death.
Okay.
It's as scary as it sounds.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, this chills.
Okay, so, yeah.
I don't know, maybe a trigger warning?
There is going to be a trigger warning towards the end. You don't have to get the trigger warning yet.
Okay.
We'll give you the trigger
You'll
warning
give it to them.
Before the last
Got it.
Portion. All right, and again, we're not using Ernest Rutherford here. I'm just naming scientists, by the way.
I'm like, who are you talking Max Planck about?
He was a famous quantum theory
You're
scientist.
You're so smart. Yeah.
I took the history of science 1 year in
you
college.
You did?
Yeah.
And you got that rote memory, so
yeah,
if like, I took that, I wouldn't remember
Schrodinger's
anything.
Schrodinger's cat, you put the cat in the box, put the poison, did the cat die, all that jazz. All
That's right. Disgusting and awful.
I know. Terrible scientists, you know.
Trigger warning, backwards.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, here we go. We shouldn't be laughing about the House of Death. All right.
All right.
14th West 10th Street in Greenwich Village. We've mm-hmm. been to the village. We went there once on Halloween.
That was a trip.
That's a trip. That's a whole other story.
That was fun.
Go to the Greenwich Village on Halloween night, and you're in for a treat.
Yeah, we just ran into it, too. We're like, what is this?
What is going on? Megan, where are we? I'm trying to do your voice.
A voice of me doing your voice?
Yeah, it was me doing it. Exactly. All right, so this house was built in 1856. It was a beautiful home when it was built. It was just for one family. It was built for the wealthy. It was built for prestige. It was on a beautiful street. Kind of like a statement house for the time. Nothing happened till 1897. And this is a little bit of a stretch here, but we'll go with it. There was a famous cyclist that bought the home. His name was Fred H. Andrew. I didn't give you a picture of him, but while he was this famous cyclist, hit a boy, broke the kid's leg. He was at fault, and he went to jail for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that is like the first like...
Why? Was it an accident?
No, I guess it was, I don't know, it was his fault or whatever. But it's the first like kind of...
They were harsh back then.
Yeah. Riding a bike, break a kid's leg, go to jail.
I feel like there's more to that story.
Yeah, there's not. You can't find too much on it. But,
yeah.
But I just wanted to kind of set the stage that this is like the first time you get bad luck.
Okay.
All right. But truly nothing really happens there yet. You know, again, 1856, that's 1897. And then in 1900, a very famous resident moves in. Okay. And that is Mark Twain, author, you know, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, and he only lives there about a year. Okay. He comes to the home, and I gave you a picture of Mark Twain. I don't know if you could read that picture from the early 1900s. You can check it out if you want.
But, okay.
He comes to the home, and I looked up the history of what was going on in his life at that time, at the turn of the century, 1900. And he was depressed. He had lost a kid.
Oh.
He had made some really, really bad investments. He actually got involved with some scientists too, and they, you know, the inventions didn't go the way they should have, and he invested what was like equivalent to like $9 million today. Not then, today's money.
Yeah, I know, but the still.
Yeah, just a crazy amount of money.
Yeah.
And he was basically coming, he went over to Europe for a while, and he was basically coming back a pauper, you know, after writing some of the, you know, most famous, I don't know how famous he would have been at that time, but famous, very famous novels. But and he had a publishing company that he botched it. You know,
he was in a bad spot.
Yeah, he was in a bad spot. A lot of people, you know, thought he was very depressed at the time. Of course, you know, he's practically broke. Now, also Twain, he is known as he was very into the paranormal. He was really into this stuff. But he was also like me. He was a skeptic. So, you know, he claimed to have premonitions. He had a claim to have a premonition of an accident that was going to happen to his brother, and then it happened.
Oh, wow.
He believed in, like, telepathy, things of that nature. After his daughter passed, they attempted seances and things like that. So he was a skeptic, but he also, there was room there. He did write a couple stories about how ghosts are total BS and all that, too. Okay, so anyway, he's there one night. He's sitting there, and a large piece of wood kindling moved through the air, he claimed. This is him saying, all by itself.
Ugh.
He takes out his gun.
Oh, my God.
Shoots it. It falls to the ground, and underneath it are drops of blood.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's what Mark Twain said.
That's now, creepy.
He thinks a rat lifted it. He claims at some point that a rat lifted it up.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of rats in New York City. But
yeah, maybe.
That's a real, that could be like a super rat, like Rat Man or something. Like, you know,
was he a drinker,
Ant-Man.
Though?
Well, like you know I said, anything? It was a bad time
yeah.
for him. I don't know. I gave you two pictures of him. I don't
yeah.
know if you could get anything off those.
But
I,
yeah.
If
well,
you can, great.
Okay,
if
so
not.
Generation, like when I read old photos, you gotta understand sometimes the auras are different because of the time, the cultural time, and just the generation or whatever. But he's green and purple. He's wearing like an authentic blue in this one photo.
I think that's an older one. Yeah.
Yeah, and that he does. He looks really. And he looks like he's got an issue with drinking or okay. something. You know, I don't know, but that's what it feels like. There's something
yeah,
off today.
Yes, definitely could be.
Okay. And I get with him, it's like very angry. And I mean, well, everything, sometimes it's like everything you like.
Yeah,
if I had said that for, I would have said he feels angry, like he's overusing a substance and he's in kind of like a really hazy spot. The other thing, honestly, I wouldn't trust a lot of what he said.
Okay.
That's the other thing. He feels like he's a little bit like, I don't know, like he's in his own world, I would say. So there's like a haze around him, a haze that is buffering him from reality. So I wouldn't want to say like delusional, but you know, because not that, I mean more kind of like stubborn towards how the reality, a distance from reality, which okay. makes him just to me not the most trustworthy narrative of okay. anything.
Right. I guess it's a strange story to tell as well.
Yeah, you know? But that's interesting that, okay, yeah.
And he only lived there 1 year, then he moved out. Now, here's the weird part. And people, now he moved out, I think he moved to Connecticut from there, and he doesn't die in the home. He dies in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
okay? But people claim, many people claim, that Mark Twain haunts that house.
You know, I just got this weird feeling. Like looking at this, like, and I don't know what this means, but just looking, cause you gave me a picture of the home too. And I just got, like lots of doors and closets.
Okay.
And I don't know what the heck that is.
Okay.
But a lot of like weird doors, weird closets and like passageways that are closed off, but something with things that should be closed off, but aren't or don't. So something's weird about, I don't know what that means.
No, well, it is interesting. It was like I said, it was one time a single family, huge home.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 1930s, they took it and they made it into apartments.
Oh, okay.
They made it
so
into
it's all
10,
cut up.
Yeah, they cut it up, chopped it up. Weird rooms here.
Okay.
There was like quarters for servants and
oh, okay.
things like that.
Okay.
So, and now I think they turned it into 10 apartments.
Oh.
But a lot of people have claimed that he, just you'll see him on the stairwell.
Somebody doesn't have to die somewhere to haunt the space.
Oh, okay.
You really don't.
Yeah.
Because if you put enough, this is just like ghost stuff, how I get it. If you put enough energy in one spot, it's almost like, you know, like on your phone, you can drop a, what do they call that? Drop, my car's parked here, drop a tag or
yeah.
whatever. I feel like you can do that with your energy in different places and spots in your life at different times. You can, it makes it easier for your energy to come back to it from the other side.
Okay. I mean,
drop a pin. You know, you drop
yeah,
a pin.
Drop a pin. Yeah.
Like you kind of do that like energetically throughout your life.
Okay.
Like you might like really like, you know, happy or sad. I think people drop pins.
All right. Well,
with their souls and then they can come back.
He apparently dropped one in this house.
Okay.
So later on in the 30s, a mom and her daughter moved into one of the apartments. And this is what they claim that they heard from Mark Twain.
Ooh.
My name is Clemens, and I have a problem here. I got to settle.
Oh, my God.
Clemens is his, Samuel Clemens'
yeah.
original name.
Yeah.
My name is Clemens, and I have a problem here. I
got
to settle.
I got chills. It's really creepy.
That's what they heard him, the spirit say.
Yeah.
Mark Twain.
Okay.
Really weird. Okay. Let's fast forward a little bit. So next to move in. Okay. So. And these are also rows. So there's buildings attached
oh,
to them. So
yeah.
there's buildings on each side.
Like a row house.
Like row houses.
Mm-hmm.
So then they take, like I said, they take this house, they move it into 10 apartments. Someone who moved in, again, late 30s, was Jan Bryant Bartell. Okay, so Jan was an actress. She was a writer. She was a psychic. She
mm-hmm.
also moved in with her daughter, by the way. So I don't know if that's
mom
and the daughter. And then
well, daughter. Because he would have been attracted to the daughter's energy because
yeah.
he lost a daughter, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So as soon as she moved into the home, and again, she claims, she's like, I gave you a picture
yeah,
of her off her book,
her.
But
mm-hmm.
she wrote a book called Spindrift. Very hard to get your hands on this one. I tried fiercely to get a copy of it, but it's like in rare books. You can get one for like $200 or something like that. But she tells about all these things that happen in the house, kind of like the Amityville horror house. And she, you know, it's the same stuff you hear in all of these.
That's crazy.
The differences in temperature, people, you know, the marching band that played.
Oh, the loud. Wow.
Yeah.
And this is way before all that.
Way before the Amityville horror house. Yeah.
Way before any of that was like out there or published or talked about.
Yeah. This is before, I mean, were the Warrens getting going around there? But they wouldn't have been published yet. You know, the chilly, the damp, the rotting smells.
The smells. Yeah. That's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. She claims that Mark Twain inhabits the house, the spirit.
Okay.
She claims that there's 22 spirits that roam this home.
Okay.
Including a cat, a gray cat. I don't know if you get a gray cat today, but I show you the pictures of the houses. You can look at that. And then she claims in the book, there was this time period of death. So it started with her dog. Her dog died. And then people started dying in the apartment complex.
Wow.
Like 9 people. And then she was the 10th. She died. They weren't sure. She died pretty much right after the book was published.
Oh, and, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so she like saw the pattern.
Yeah.
And then she actually died.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and she lived in the building next door, and she felt stuff. And then when she moved over to 14.
Well, that stuff can spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. Like, just because there's a wall doesn't mean the energy stops.
Yeah. Now, I gave you the book, which is so old, and I don't know if you can get it.
Well, looking at her,
it's a picture of her book.
Now, again, like, talk about the generational thing. This woman's incredibly purple.
Okay.
And blue. So for that time period, like, she's a very loud aura color, especially for a woman of that time, and her generation, everything like that. Like, she must have been very different, very ahead of her time, but very noticeable to society as someone that they'd want to, like, hush or brush aside or not treat the same or whatever. But she's very self-aware. But she's very much around this situation. I feel like she's a protector of the house in some sort of people wanting to go to that house or something with the house in some way. I do get her wanting to kind of like put a barrier. So I wonder if she, this is just what I get.
Okay.
Because when I look at her and then I look at the house, I feel like she tries to keep people from living there or tries to warn people or tries to protect people from the energy there.
So it is an evil energy there.
Well, when I look at the house, because you gave me a picture of the house, the bottom floor feels the most stressful to me, but I get this kind of, hold on. All right. Hold on. Okay. Sorry. I have to, maybe it's not the bottom floor. Maybe it's like the, I don't know how this works, like with the street. Maybe it's the first floor or something.
Because there could be a garden.
There might be a garden entrance. Yeah. So not that one, but the one above it. Okay. Anyways, so maybe the second floor. I don't know what that is. Anyways, when I look at it, it just feels hotelish, but not in a good way. So I just get like a lot of transients in it, and it feels like not upkept, and it feels like it doesn't want an owner. And again, it has a personality, but not in a good way. It feels very much like a void is what it feels like to me. And I think and it's weird because like I see a little bit of the houses on either side. They don't feel that way.
Yeah.
They feel more like, okay, whatever. Like this one feels kind of like, I think the vibe would be is like, has this been empty a while? Has this changed hands a lot? Who's the manager of the building? Where does the owner live? Like those would be, I think, the questions you'd ask if you walked into this building and you started feeling things. You'd try to get your finger on like where's the origins of this situation? Like what's the intention behind this home? And I also I get something with water in the house that's really, I don't know if it's, now this could be like one of those geopathic things because I don't know if the piping's not good or there's something with the water quality, or there's something, sometimes I get paranormal stuff with water issues, but it feels like there's water issues in this space, and it doesn't feel healthy to me.
Okay. That's pretty freaky.
Why?
No.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And well, I want to tell you the last story.
Okay.
That really gives it the name, the House of Death.
Okay.
And we're going to put out the trigger warning right here. All right. So November 2nd, 1987. And I gave you this picture. I didn't tell you anything about this one.
Okay.
Of a little girl. I'll just use her first name. You could all look. This is looked up. It's public. Mm-hmm. Named Lisa.
And oh my God. I was just going to say Lori because I got an L name. I should have just said it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is really hard to look at. I do feel like she's dead. And I feel like she died in the home. And I feel like, did a man do it to her?
Yes.
And it feels like some sort of father figure. Maybe not dad, but some sort of figure of fatherhood to her.
It was dad.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Was there a dog, too? Or did she have an animal? Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think so.
Okay. So I get this really strong feeling of not just death. There was some sort of horrific situation leading up to it with where she wants to stay as a child, because like what happened to her was not, I get abuse. So I get torture and abuse, like that sort of thing.
Yes. So yes, you are 100% correct all of this. I think I gave you, she was six when she died. I think I gave you a picture. I don't know if she was six in that photo or not.
Yeah. She looks about that.
Yeah. The father was a lawyer. Her mom, Hedda, was a publisher. So it seems like a typical normal family,
right?
But it
you
was a
know.
House,
yeah.
Right? And now again, this house with this bad energy and everything. But this guy was a psycho. He a lot of drugs. There was a lot of a lot of abuse, a lot of physical abuse to the kids. There was also a brother. They found him tied up when they came to the home, and he was soaked in his own, bodily functions.
That's terrible.
The wife was beaten, and the girl was dead. It's just a terrible.
So this like made the headlines.
Oh, this was huge headlines.
So this was like so this is like the House of Horror. Everybody now knows like what's that house that happened at? Oh my gosh!
Right. So right, because remember the book came out by Jan
Bartel. Right, because the book.
Yeah, they had the book out. It was actually a decent hit at that time.
Wow.
And then for a while it was a hit. And then people knew of this home.
Right.
And weird things being it. Mark Twain always being seen there. Weird, odd things happening. But then this one made it the House of Death in 1987. And when the police came there, they were just...
It was like a scene.
It was a scene.
Wow.
And I think I gave you a newspaper clipping of the time.
Wow.
And what they saw was just, they couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it.
Well, and what's with the house now? Because it just feels like all over the place.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I think they have like a plaque, like Mark Twain lived here. And like there's some signs up like museum as part.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of get freaked out after I read this story.
Yeah.
Kind of like the same thing with the opposite one.
Like that psychic lady who wrote, she knew the house was bad.
It was bad.
And what's interesting is with that guy, the man that killed
Joel, yeah.
Joel, okay. Did he get worse in the house? That's my question. Because that's like Amityville.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like those other ones, yeah.
Yeah, like where the men like blame it on the house that they start getting abusive and angry and different.
Yeah.
Like, did he blame it on that? Or what happened to him? He went to jail.
He went to jail. Yeah, no.
He got out?
Yes.
What?
17 years he got.
That's it?
Yeah, for murdering his kid. Yeah, 17, that's it. He didn't even get first degree. I think he got second degree.
Why?
Because they claimed he was like binging cocaine. He was out of his mind.
Okay.
And I don't know. Maybe he had a good lawyer. I don't know. He was a lawyer, so.
Cocaine doesn't make you do that.
No, I know. I don't know how. I was shocked, too. I'm like, how many? What happened? Is 87. I don't know if he'd still be alive today.
Oh, my God.
It's another, was that 20, 25? That's like 35 years later. I don't know how old he was then. But,
wow.
Yeah, you'd think this guy's life in jail, right?
Yeah.
No. 17 years. He got out in 2000-something.
Wow.
2000. Was that before? 2004 he got out.
Messed
yeah.
up, man.
The wife didn't go to jail either. They did press charges on her for just abuse, like letting this stuff happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was also abused. They probably had the other kid, so they probably didn't want the two parents in jail, you know, for the son, Mitchell. But
That's like a horrific story.
Yeah.
It's like people do your research before you move in somewhere.
Yeah.
I think there's just from the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family page, there are every state, I guess this I learned because somebody moved into a house where this horrific murder happened. I think we talked about it on here. And they didn't know until the neighbors were like, oh, like that. And then oh my God, I'm sorry, because that's off the cuff. Otherwise, I'm sorry, member who posted this, because you know who you are and you put such an awesome account of the house and stuff, and her kids started noticing like the dad killed everybody or something, and then the kids started noticing like toy, like they were playing with the ghost kids. My point is that I guess every state has its own law whether you can know what happened in the house before you or not.
Okay, so some states you can,
some states you can tell, some states you can't.
Wow.
So my point is like talk to neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to look into that to see if anyone lives there today. They might have shut this down at some point. I don't know. I have to look into that.
Maybe if it was just like a museum, or do people still live there? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll try to find it. Okay. And put it in the Facebook group.
Try to update that.
Update that. After I read the story.
That's disturbing. Yeah, you like went dark. You spent so long looking for that Spindrift book.
Oh, no. I was, because again, I was given the task to find something paranormal this week, which I want, you know, which I love to do. And, you know, for like this was supposed to be a few weeks ago, this episode, but for like 3 weeks,
I know.
I became obsessed with this house, and this happens to me.
Wait, what's her name? Jan?
Jan, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you anything, because she just feels so present. She was working through you.
Jan Bartel, yeah.
And now that I got that protector vibe on her, she's probably just trying to elicit your help and getting it. Not that we're some like, you know, huge broadcast, but... Hey,
no, it was
you know, like, don't live there.
Yeah,
maybe she's trying to tell you, like, help.
It could have been, because I was really trying really hard, because I wanted to read the book, her book, mm-hmm. and then do the thing, but I couldn't get it. And then, you know, you found it.
Like, I did.
Right away.
In
but
two
it was,
seconds.
And on, but I had to read it online.
Well, yeah.
And I can't, I read some of it, but I cannot read a book
online.
I can't read a book on the computer.
but I did find it.
Yeah, you did find it right away. Like I'm searching for weeks.
Weeks. I'm like, what's her name? What's the name of the? Oh, here it is, Scott.
Yeah, you know my red. I'm
here
debating.
It is. Somebody scanned it, and it's all online.
Yeah, there it was, and I read it. I read parts of it. I couldn't read the whole thing, but yeah, there I am. You know, like, should I buy this $200 copy this one episode? You know, my cheapness is playing a part here. You know, part of me's like, just do it, buy it. Then I'm like, well, what if I don't like it?
But I found it online. I'm like,
yeah, you found it in 2 seconds.
Just read it online.
I should have asked you. I mean, I spent 2 weeks looking at this
just
book.
Just read it online. And all right. Anyway,
so. I mean, if anyone has this book, let me know.
Because he can't read it online.
Yeah, Spindrift. It's called Spindrift Spray from a Psychic Seed.
But I'm trying to say, like, maybe she's trying to, because I don't know where.
Yeah,
come through you.
It could be.
To
I'm
keep
sweating
people
right now.
From living in this home.
Okay.
Seriously.
Well,
or and understanding what's happening there and understanding like what happened to that little girl.
Yeah.
You know, because.
Yeah. No, I know no member of the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family is moving into that house.
I mean, there's so many old houses with so many bad things that happen in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess I should just like round it up with, I wasn't even planning this, but you should always make a space your own.
Okay.
Always. Always. We just went into a restaurant the other day and it used to be like a really, we were just eating at this restaurant, this local restaurant. And he's like, I don't know. Cause it used to be this other restaurant and everybody hated that one and it's new ownership. And he's like, I don't know if I got a sage. And then in my head, I'm like, you didn't already sage? Oh my God. That's why you keep getting the bad Yelp reviews from people that think you're the old place.
Right.
anytime you go into a space, I don't care if it's your office. I do this before. I try to do this before, like if I do speaking presentations or whatever. And obviously my home, and then every once in a while, the house again. You have to make it your own. If you know, I have sage spray, which is just spray. It's just like that scent in a spray. I mean, you can make your own aromas. Lavender is really good. Rosemary, Palo Santo. But my point, like, and you go around and you just open all the windows and doors if you can, and just insert your own energy in the home. And tell all the energy that is not like energy to please exit. And it will.
All right. Well, after doing this research, I am a believer that these places hold something in them. You know, I felt it myself. I've never been obviously near this house of death, although I wanted to go now.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
I don't know if I'd go in, but I do want to go like outside it.
I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Would you go anywhere near that house? No.
Nope.
Would you go to the front door?
No. I wouldn't even touch it.
Would you go to the street?
I mean, the street's like just the street.
Because they said that there's been cases spreading to the house, the attached homes.
Yeah. It's like, it's that stuff's infectious. So, you got to stay away.
Right. I believe it. I'm a believer in this one. So
I can put up a wall, but I wouldn't like test it.
No, I'm a believer, but. All right, I don't want to end this on this death note with this poor child. So I say we do an overtime.
Overtime.
And, you know, and I have one planned. This is premeditated.
A planned overtime.
Planned overtime. So speaking of making a space your own.
Well, real quick, overtime.
Yeah, okay. Oh, all right.
You may leave now.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to be said. It could be insulting. It could not be for little ears. If you have little, well, this whole episode wasn't really for little ears, the last part.
Right.
But that's your warning. Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
You can go now.
All right. So like you said, speaking of making a space your own, go ahead.
So yoga this morning. I'm still, I've been laughing all morning, by the way. I've been holding it like.
I can't believe this happened.
Okay. So we go to yoga on Fridays at the Y, you know, with Chuck and the foot fetish and all that. And so I usually take the back spot. I always get the back spot, back corner, you know, my own little space. You know, I'm a great social distancer. And you know, put your mat, what is it, like 3 feet between, like away from me. Whatever.
You have your yoga rectangle.
Right.
And then I put my yoga rectangle, my mat, like right 3 feet in front of you.
Right.
So we're like me, you.
Right. And I do this because.
With 3 feet in between us-ish.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, maybe 3 feet or something like that. Maybe a little less even. But I do this because then, you know, I have the back, so I get the back wall. And then I got you in front of me, so I know I'm not going to get anyone in front of me.
Yeah, like no one's butt's going to be in your face but mine.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Which it is all the time.
Right.
But so we're just there. We're doing our warm-up. And this lady comes in, takes her mat, and puts it right between, this never happened before, your mat and my mat.
Okay. Just a little setting. This is the YMCA in, I mean, we love, I don't know. Is that, can I say that? I don't know.
It's a great place.
It's a wonderful place. Wonderful. But it is in Florida. And it's been known to have a couple South Florida purples wander in.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I don't know what this. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just trying to say, like, this isn't. It's, I don't know. It's a class at the Y. You know what I mean?
Sure. it's a great class, and we do it all the time. But anyway.
We love our class.
That's irrelevant because this lady comes in. So now she's in between us. And I would say there was probably, let's say, 3 inches from her mat to my mat and 3 inches from your mat to her mat. And so I'm like, I obviously make this face, and I'm like, and I tell her like, what are you doing? Like what? And she's like, just looks at me. And I'm like, you know, there's not enough room. It's going to be too tight to stay there. It's just too tight of space because, you know, you got to take your leg and you got to twist it and you got to put a leg here. And like you said, you know, body parts go there. All body parts would have been touching at some point with her right in between the middle of us. So, you know, I'm trying to get her to move, and I keep telling her, like, there's not going to be enough room. It's too tight in here.
So this is what happened. So I'm on my mat doing, like, child's pose, and you're on your mat doing some sort of triangle thing. And she plops her, like, and all of a sudden I'm like, what is that? And it's, like, a woman with her mat in between the two of us. And she's odd. Like, you can tell she's just an odd person. And, like, you know, she's odd. And you're like, and you know, I'm never going to say anything because I'm like, oh, I'm so scared for confrontation. And you go, excuse me, it's too tight here.
Yeah.
You don't want to put your mat here. This is going to be too tight.
Yeah.
And she goes, my vagina. And you didn't hear her.
No, I didn't hear her.
And you go, no. Yeah, and I think I didn't, you knew she said something, but right. You didn't know what.
No, I didn't know
what
you said.
Were like, no, like, because you have to go like this with your arms and this, and this isn't enough room. You need to move. And she goes, my vagina? And at that point, my mouth, I grabbed my jaw, put it back in my mouth, grabbed. I'm like, it's fine. I'm moving. I put my, and I moved because I am like, what? I went, I heard my vagina twice.
At least, I think. Maybe three times.
And I'm trying to think, like, does she speak another language? Now I speak Spanish. And there's nothing in Spanish that is my vagina. Like, that is not. And I'm like, I don't know any other language where my vagina means, oh, I'm sorry, or excuse, or something else.
Yeah,
like, she legit said that.
Well, maybe it's like that Michael Scott, like, that's what she said. Because I said, you know, I said something to the effect, like, it's going to be, this is a tight space.
Yeah, she's like, my vagina's tight? Like, what?
Like, what?
So you didn't hear it.
No, I didn't hear
and
it.
And you're just like, you see me moving.
Yeah.
And then you start, you're speaking up.
Yeah.
And you're speaking up for me, and you're like, you know, I'm going to move because I'm a, and you're like, I think you wanted me to hold firm with you or whatever, but after I heard my vagina out twice, I'm like, no, no, I'm leaving. And it's, and then you're like, well, I guess you'll move and not her. And then I walk up to you and I'm like, Scott, when you said that it's going to be too tight in here, she said, it's my vagina. I don't even know what that means.
I just started belly laughing.
Means.
Yeah, I didn't even, I don't know. I was just laughing.
So anyways,
I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, so you couldn't stop laughing. So now
people are looking at me like, what's wrong with that guy? Oh,
and her butt is in your face.
Yeah. Well, thank God you moved because I wasn't moving from my spot. My corner is my corner. But, you know, this lady was passing wind.
Oh, she was farting.
Many times.
And listen, it's yoga. And you get one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One in yoga.
Okay. I've been going to Ed's class. I don't know, 3 years now?
Like, anyone's going to do it. It's
and
you.
I've never done it.
Yeah, I know.
Zero. And that's not, you know, that's tough for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's Lumi? I need Lumi. Okay. So, I mean, so if I can hold it, you can hold it.
But she was not holding it. It was like popping.
Yeah. I mean, I moved.
In your face.
Yeah.
Every time she did it. I was like looking at you. I thought I was going to die.
It's real weird. Yeah. And she'd always turn the wrong way. So she was looking at me when he says, oh, turn on your right side.
She's
now.
On her left.
She'd be on her left.
And you're on your right. You're making eye contact.
Yeah. And then she'd be like, turn on your left. And she'd be on her right. And it's like, what are you doing?
And she like kept doing these leg lifts, and making eye contact with you.
She's botching my everything. You know, I'm trying to do my, what's it? The balancing, you know, I want to balance you.
Right.
You got to concentrate when you're standing on one foot and one hand is on the other foot.
Right.
And then there's her and I'm laughing. I can't even balance, you know. It was crazy.
So,
all right. I'm glad we got to end on this funny note.
I don't know why we felt the need to tell you that happened to us today.
Well, I felt the need to lighten it up because of the House of Death.
I know.
But
so if anybody knows what she meant by my vagina,
please tell us.
Write in. Share with us our thoughts because we are puzzled.
Yes, we are. And
it worked.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to sit down in the bus seat, let's say there's people.
Yeah.
And you just plop down in a place that's really not a socially acceptable place to sit. And people are like, hey, just be like my vagina. And maybe they'll just leave you alone.
Right. You've said that many times today. We could change Jumanji to that word. And the thing is, it was like, yeah, you had to move because there were, like, when you moved out, you know, at least there was a little more space, but she would have like, with these moves, her face or your face or whoever's face would have been in each other's body.
There was nowhere to put your feet off the mat.
Yeah. And then like, there's, you know, that move where you have to, I don't know what it's called, but like, you have to go downward dog. You would have put your face into her part that you've been talking about all these times.
I
so
know.
It's really strange. And I don't think we can even end on this note. So I'm going to end on the note that we finally got our 11/11 event up.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because, yeah, we can't end on that.
Good job,
either
Scott.
With this lady.
Good job.
Yeah, parts in your face. And then it's overtime. So 11/11, we're doing an event 11/10, 11/11, Fort Lauderdale Beach, at the Bahia Mar Hotel. We have a great event. We've done this a couple of times. It's a lot of fun. People from all over the country come, maybe even international.
Everyone's best friend.
Everyone's going to be best
friend. Yeah, we got Canadians last time.
Yeah, we had Canadians from Edmonton and hopefully more this year because I think Toronto was closed or it was really hard to get out of Toronto.
Didn't you have people from Maine too?
We had the Maine Wall. Five or six people from Maine come. Maine. And they protected your protectors from Maine. So hopefully,
from the South Florida Purples at the bar that we didn't know.
The Maine Wall. I trained them in the bar.
They were
amazing. How to protect you. So they were great. Hopefully they come again. It's a fantastic time. We'll talk about it. And it's still a little while away because it's 11/11.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it. Tickets are... I believe we'll still be available at the time of this airing, but we'll end on that note.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. This podcast is for you and about you, and we're so glad you spent some time with us today.